In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Luke writes, "When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Today's gospel relates one of those rather strange Jewish traditions that can make the Bible seem rather unconnected to us today. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, what does this have to do with us? What does Mary, her going to the temple 40 days after she gave birth, in obedience to a Jewish tradition, more than that, a Jewish law, in fact, laid down by Moses, what does that have to do with you and me? Well, we need to know the background. God had told the Jews in the Torah, that's the five books that Moses wrote, the first five books of the Bible. He had told them that blood was holy. The life of every creature is its blood, it says in Leviticus chapter 17. So a person who had been bleeding was accountable for blood, for life being poured out. He had blood on his hands. That's kind of a good way to think of it. So such a person then needed to offer blood to God in a sacrifice, to acknowledge God as the giver and sustainer of life. A person with blood on his hands also then needed to be cleansed and received by God as holy. Since when a woman gave birth, blood would also come forth, and perhaps for a while afterward, she then had to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice for her purification. This is why Mary went to the temple 40 days after Jesus was born. Now, did you notice how Luke phrased this event in his gospel? Did you notice what almost seems like a mistake he made in what he wrote? Luke says, when the time came for their purification. Their purification? Moses only required that the mother be purified, not her baby. Why didn't Luke write her purification? Matter of fact, he doesn't even mention Mary at all. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate author of the Scriptures, Luke focuses on Jesus and includes him in that very act. Luke is telling us that from the very beginning of Jesus' life, he who from the womb was already proclaimed to be the Lord, the giver of the law, the one who is above the law then. Luke is telling us that from his birth, he was put under God's law and required to keep it. He did this for us. We who ourselves are responsible to live in accordance with God's good law, to keep it completely. Our epistle today from Hebrews chapter 2 puts it this way. Since the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same. He had to be made like us in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Jesus was put under the law, not only as one of us. He went under the law for us, to serve us as our high priest, Hebrews says. The high priest in the temple. When a person brought a sacrifice, first the priest would take the blood of the sacrifice and throw it upon the altar to offer it to God for cleansing, as did then Jesus. He offered his life for us. He offered his life to God on our behalf. First, his life of obedience to the law, offered it to God as ours. And then offered up his blood, his bloody death, as the payment to cover our sins and take away God's anger, the propitiation of our sins. And then after the priest would pour that blood on the altar, he would turn and sprinkle the blood also on the person, declaring to that person God's acceptance of his sacrifice, the forgiveness of his sins. And so our Lord Jesus, our high priest, turns to us and offers to us his blood. This is why Luke, right after he speaks of the sacrifice for purification, immediately turns to the old man Simeon, who comes, sees Jesus, and takes him in his arms. Simeon's one of us. He was a man who was a believer in God, as are you and I, and one who was waiting for the coming of the Christ, as we are waiting for his return for us. Simeon then speaks for us. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. And so, as you take Jesus in your arms, as you rejoice in your baptism, in which you are joined to him, as you hear his words and believe them and rejoice in them, as you receive his very body and blood in the sacrament of his altar, God's peace is yours. His blood is sprinkled upon you. Jesus is your peace, as Simeon declares for us all. Jesus is, as Simeon says, God's salvation, that he has prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, which is you and me. So, you who believe in him, you can truly say, God has accepted you. Your sin is forgiven, and you are innocent. You have no guilt. Jesus paid for your sin and canceled its guilt. You can also say, you have truly kept God's law. You have not failed him in the least, because Jesus kept God's law perfectly for you and offered his obedience to God for you. And through faith in him, God counts that obedience of his sons as yours. But let this be more than just believed. Let your faith and your obedience to God be seen. St. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 2, Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Be zealous like Mary. Zealous in offering herself to her Lord. Now you might wonder, did Mary have to go to the temple to offer that sacrifice of purification? After all, she hadn't given birth to just any human being. She had given birth to the Holy One of God, who even before he was presented was declared God's Holy One, even within the womb. Did she need to offer the sacrifice that Moses required? Some say she had no such obligation. Some even go a little far, I think, in explaining why. For a long time, centuries, there are those who have believed that Mary did not give birth like those of you women who gave birth. They believe Jesus miraculously passed through her womb, and so there was no shedding of blood. Even Martin Luther believed that. I don't myself buy into that. Scripture says he was made like us in every way. I think Jesus was born just like you and me. But Mary could say, and you and I can say, that we are not under the law. We are not obligated to it. We can say this because God says this. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so, for you and I who believe in Jesus, God's law has been kept. We are free. There's nothing you have to do because it's done. But don't let this make you think you can then go ahead and do whatever you want. Don't then seek ways to get around law. And that's what we are inclined to do. You know how we are. We constantly offer excuses for not following the law. Well, I didn't know. Well, everybody else was doing it. Why do you think there are so many warning labels? Why contracts are so extensive? Because we'll find a way to get around it. Martin Luther preached on the purification of Mary, and he said this in his sermon: our disobedience and miserable bad habits do not comport well with the example of the child Jesus, who is Lord over the law. In comparison, Moses is a mere man and a beggar. He nevertheless did what Moses required of other children who are sinners. The Virgin Mary did likewise. These two examples shame us and highlight our sinfulness. We might blush red with shame when we realize we do not do the things required of us by the Lord, from whom we have everything. He did it all for our sake when he complied with the law of Moses, his servant, even though by rights he was not obligated. Really, We ought to spray ourselves full of red paint and say, I am not worthy that the sun shines on me, since my Lord and Savior has subjected himself to the law. Should I not be obedient to my Lord and follow his example, who for my sake became man, permitted himself to lie in a cradle, be carried to Jerusalem, and be obedient to his servant Moses, to whom he owed no obedience? That's what Luther tells us. But God, instead of covering you with red paint, covers you with the holy blood of his Son, the blood which purchased God's forgiveness and his blessing. His blood is upon you. How blessed you and I are. Let us then live as blessings to others, and in this way bring honor and glory to our Lord. As Joseph and Mary carried Jesus to the temple and brought him that he might fulfill God's law for us, so you and I carry others, and we help them to fulfill God's will in their lives. And even if you think there is little you can offer and do, like Joseph and Mary, they were so poor, they could not offer the lamb for sacrifice of purification. They offered just a couple of little birds, which was the exemption for those who were poor. Well, like them, we carry Jesus. They carried him in their arms. We carry him in our hearts and minds. In fact, your very body is his. Rejoice then in your life. Rejoice to live under the Lord's blessing and direction, as did Mary and Joseph and Simeon, and all who have put their faith in him. Rejoice and live in the peace that is yours through your Savior, the peace he proclaims to you in his word, and pray that he make you a blessing to others, to the glory of Jesus, our Savior, our High Priest. Amen.